Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between or irrespective of that binary, welcome back to Poplar, Kentucky, where it is the night before Halloween, 1994, and Eddie Breyer, Taylor Russell, Benson, and Stevie Davis have just been greeted by a figure who calls themselves the Game Master, seated where Fox Scuggs once sat. What do you all do? How do you all react to seeing this figure seated where Fox once was?
What's this Game Master look like? Like, is it... It's not at all conceivable that this is Fox in a costume, right?
The figure before you appears to be about... I mean, if you had to guess an age, about 60 to 75, heavily wrinkled, scars on his face, a robe that is kind of like, almost like looming shadows that encompasses his entire figure, and a hood that's pulled up over his head.
Okay, so not conceivably Fox in a costume.
Unless Fox has mastered the art of the quick change and some serious, like, makeup skills, no.
Great, I'm throwing a chair.
Okay.
Oh, nice, because I was going to say I flipped the table on him.
We can do both!
So what was Taylor doing?
Taylor is flipping the table over on the Game Master.
Taylor flipping the table. Okay, so I will have each of you roll fight, and the difficulty is going to be 15.
Well.
That's 10 for Taylor.
I got 7.
Okay, so that adds up to more than 15. Okay.
Oh, it was combined. Awesome.
So Pat stands up and pulls out her chair and chucks it at this figure, while Taylor just flips the table, all the dice and minifigures and the maps and everything that Fox had set up go flying as these items go flying at the figure. And when everything comes to a settles down, you see that the person is not there anymore.
Taylor starts freaking out and looking around frantically, and just kind of says, "Fox, where'd Fox go? Is this a weed thing?"
Jesus fucking Christ! Is everything weed to you? Listen, we already had people fucking appearing and disappearing in front of us. Probably one of these, I don't know how, but maybe one of these fucking things didn't get sucked into the goddamn portal or some shit. Now, where the fuck is Fox?
I mean, unless this is just a fucked up hallucination caused by weed. Does weed do that? Was there something in the tea?
Weed is not a hallucinogen.
Your cousin is with me.
Has this fucker just, like, appeared out of nowhere again, or is this a foreboding voiceover?
It's kind of a voice that echoes throughout the room as if he is everywhere at once.
Gotcha, narrator voice.
Where are you?
I am everywhere and everything.
Yeah, that's fucking useful.
Play along, and you might be able to get him back.
Play what? We were playing the game, and then you stopped us.
Oh, no, not this silly game that you...
Bud, I swear to God, if this is you, I'm gonna kick your tiny ass. I know you're not actually a kid.
Can I return, or will you attack me again?
Also, why the fuck are you getting indignant? You just apparently kidnapped a kid! Well, adult. I don't fucking know. He's like 19 now.
He's got the mind of a child, really.
I did nothing of the sort. He summoned me. He spoke the words.
What words? What's going on here?
It's Satanism, Stevie. I should have known. I should have listened to Mom. Oh my god.
I assure you, I am far older and far more powerful than what you call Satan.
You see the figure begin to rematerialize in the room, and instead of the Game Master standing in front of you is the image of Fox. Now, I've taken this form because I assume that you find it more agreeable.
No.
Very well.
You wanna try and fucking be someone now? Listen, I don't fucking care. Man, this...
Can you take any form you want? Could you turn into Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Please turn into Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Oh my god, come on.
Yeah, you see the figure scratch its head for a moment, and there's probably a magazine in Fox's room that has an advertisement for Jonathan Taylor Thomas for Home Improvement on it. And he looks down and says, "Very well." And you watch as the figure turns into the image of Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
This is actually worse for me. Oh, can we just get this over with?
Now, are we ready to play the game?
What's going to happen if we don't?
Oh, if you fail, then I keep your friend forever.
So you are kidnapping him. And now holding him for ransom.
It was his choice. He read the words. It's not my fault. He didn't know what they did.
Right. So you're saying Fox is deciding not to come back. Or you're holding him hostage. Just want to make sure we're on a level playing field here.
Very well. We want to play the hard way? That's fine with me. The figure snaps its fingers, and Stevie, you wake up in your bed. You wake up. It's almost like you're waking up from a dream, and you're in your bed at your house.
So Stevie gets up from bed and goes, "I knew that all had to be a dream. It was way too weird." And I'm going to walk downstairs into the kitchen and get myself some breakfast.
You go downstairs and you see that your house doesn't have walls anymore. And instead there is like just really thick iron bars. And instead of your mom and Bob, there are two massive parakeets.
I'm going to look down at myself. Am I a parakeet too?
You are not. You are still Stevie.
Stevie is going to look around and see if she can see Jonathan Taylor Thomas, because obviously this is his demonic influence at work.
And then you see Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You see Jonathan Taylor Thomas materialize in the kitchen with you.
This could be your life. I could make this your life. Or you could play along. You choose the game. What game shall we play?
I want to play blackjack.
Very well.
And Jonathan Taylor Thomas snaps his fingers, and you find yourselves in a Vegas casino.
Stevie immediately feels at home.
Now this is just JTT and Stevie?
Yeah, it's an empty Vegas casino, except for JTT and Stevie at a blackjack table. JTT is wearing the typical dealer's garb.
Like the idea of him in like a little clear hat. Cute. So Stevie's like, "Get ready to lose, Jonathan Taylor Thomas."
Very well. And he shuffles up and deals. Okay, so he shuffles up and deals, and we see a 4 in front of Stevie and an 8 in front of JTT. Hit, stay. What would you like to do?
I would like to hit, please. Hit me again. Hit me maybe one more time, even. I'm going to stay now. So Stevie has a 4, an ace, and a 2. So she has 17.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas draws. He says, and then he snaps his fingers, and a set of chips appear in front of you and him.
Do I get money? Are these real money? If I win, is this real money?
He pushes half of his stack of chips forward. Would you care to call or raise?
Oh, I'll call, but is this real money? I mean, obviously my cousin is the most important thing, and getting Fox back is the most important thing, but also money is nice.
The chips are just a way of keeping score. The first one to run out of chips loses.
That's boring. Let's put some real money on the line. Come on.
Make a charm roll. Difficulty of 8.
I got a 10. So I exceeded by 2.
I like your spunk. You got real moxie. And it's been a while since I've been unleashed, so I'm feeling generous. If you win, I will give you some money.
How much money? Wait, no, don't tell me. Wait, no, tell me. Whatever, I have 17. What do you got?
$5.
You know, if this guy hasn't been around, he hasn't accounted for inflation.
So, what's your bet?
I'll call. Here. She pushes in half of her chips.
And the two of you flip over your cards. And no bullshit, that's the cards I drew.
Are you kidding me?
So, because this is an audio medium, Jonathan Taylor Thomas reveals an 8, a 7, and a 6, totaling up to 21, which, for those of you keeping score, is the number you want to hit for blackjack.
I hate it.
It's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure that 21 is the number, yes?
No, it is not. In fact, the number that you want to hit is actually 22.
Child, I'm the game master.
Right, but I mean, you haven't played it in a while. How would you even...
He snaps his fingers, and the half of your chips and the rest of his chips that he bet come back to him. Shall we play another hand?
Yeah, but get ready, because I'm going to own you, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You're no Macaulay Culkin, that's for sure. Stupid jerk. I make no apologies to the real Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
All right. So Jonathan Taylor Thomas shuffles up and deals we see an 8 for Jonathan Taylor Thomas and a 9 for Stevie.
Okay.
Hit or stay?
Hit. Hit me again. She looks like really... Well, no, Stevie would have a really good poker face, so no one would be able to tell. It's like her whole game, right? So no one can tell what she's thinking. And she pauses for a second, and she goes, all right, hit me again. And for those of you playing at home, I just went bust. I got a... I'm at 23. So I would like to attempt to cheat. Because that is my whole thing. Is cheating at blackjack. I'm going to attempt to, like, palm a card from my sleeve. The old trick. I assume Stevie always has cards up her sleeve. Because why the fuck would she not have cards up her sleeve?
Okay. Let's call that... I'm going to call that a flight. Difficulty of 12.
I got 2! That is, for those of you trying along at home, 2 is a lot less than 12. And even if I used my adversity tokens, I wouldn't be able to get up to a 12.
JTT sucks his teeth. Come now. I'm the game master. Did you really think you could cheat?
Well, yes, actually, I definitely thought I could cheat. But, like, listen, man, it's...
Well, you're going to have to pay for that.
you know, it's just a game, and I always cheat. I mean, I never cheat. I never cheat. She winks. Take some more of my chips or whatever.
Well, you'll just have to pay another way.
Wait, what? What do you mean, pay another way?
Stevie, you begin to sprout feathers.
Oh, God, no. Not here for that.
Oh, no, no, no. You decided on this one, child. Let's go once more. This one for everything.
No.
And he Not pushes all of his chips and
take them away, take them away, take away the feathers. All right, hold on.
So JTT shuffles up again and reveals a queen for himself and a four for Stevie. Oh yeah, this is for all the marbles. So actually, we're playing them all face up.
Okay.
The game master JTT reveals that he has a queen, a four, and a four for a total of 18.
Stevie reveals that she has a nine, an eight, and a three for a total of 20.
He draws another card and looks over at you with a grin.
Aw, did you go bust? That really sucks, Jonathan. I'm sorry. Not.
With a grin that falls to a frown as he places a five on his hand. Yes, shame.
What a
shame.
Looks
like I'll just have to put up a better fight with the others.
Wait, so are you telling me that me winning against you at blackjack didn't save my cousin? What the fuck was the point then? At least give me my money.
Oh, that's right. I did promise you some money.
Yeah. She holds out her hand.
He snaps his fingers and a chest appears in front of you and opens up to reveal...
Oh, that sounded monkey's paw.
Several hundred drachmi.
What the fuck is a drachmi?
It's the currency used in ancient Greece.
Oh, I see. Okay. She looks real angry, and she's like, what the fuck? This isn't money?
Yes, and I promised you some money. I didn't say what kind of money.
You promised me...
And he disappears.
As he disappears, she yells, I always liked Brad better! Just heard myself say that.
Stevie, you find yourself back in Fox's room. You are currently by yourself. What would you like to do?
I am going to try the door to where I know my aunt is. Be like, Aunt Claire, do I still have feathers?
You still have feathers, yes.
What do the feathers look like?
It's just like a couple of feathers poking out from underneath your bucket hat.
And they're in my hair, like twisted in, or they're like growing out of my head, like my hair?
Yeah, where your hair is.
Couldn't turn me back. Aunt Claire! I'm gonna go towards the door and open it.
No one answers.
Eddie? Taylor? Pat? Aunt Claire?
There's no answer. You open the door and you feel... Well, you see before you a black void, and you feel the sensation of yourself being pulled through this black void. I'd like you to make me a flight check, difficulty of 8.
I swear, if Stevie dies in an interlude...
I got a 12, so that explodes. And then I got a 3, so I got a 15.
Okay. So yeah, you grab onto the wall and hold yourself in place as you swing the door closed and regain your composure. And as that happens, we cut to Taylor. Damn it. Taylor, you find yourself waking up in your bed.
Oh, okay. So it was all just a dream? Did I do weed? Pat says it's not weed. Okay. Taylor will get out of bed and, like, look out his window to see, like, is it daytime? Is it nighttime? Like, he's just trying to take stock of his situation.
It is currently daytime. And as you look out your window, you see a giant wasp buzzing by your window.
Taylor hits the deck immediately.
Like as big as a Cadillac, let's say.
Okay, he screams and hits the deck.
Your mom comes into your room and says, "Honey, what's the matter?"
"There's a big-ass wasp."
"Well, of course there's a big-ass wasp. You know that the giant wasps came to town some time ago."
"That's not a thing I remember. Was that before or after the devils?"
"Oh, by the way, I have this letter for you from... I have this letter for you from the college you wanted to apply to. You've been rejected."
Subtlety is not this guy's forte.
And then your mom turns into JTT, and he says, "Would you like to play the game now?"
Does that make the giant hell wasps go away?
"Everything will go back to normal. All you have to do is play the game."
"Then, yeah, let's play. What are we playing?"
"You pick."
"I'm pretty good at darts."
"Darts it is." And you find yourselves in, like, an empty bowling alley with I was going to say a bar, but it wouldn't be appropriate for Taylor to be in a bar. I don't think Taylor would be in a bar. So you find yourself in an empty bowling alley in the back room where they have the birthday party room and stuff. Like, I don't know if anyone else has ever had a birthday party at a bowling alley, but I distinctly remember from childhood that there's something like that. And there is a dartboard set up. JTT motions to the darts and says, "You first."
Taylor picks up a dart, and as he's doing that, says, "Why are you still Jonathan Taylor Thomas?"
"This is the image that made you all most comfortable. That was my understanding, unless you'd like me to look like someone else."
"No, that's fine."
"We'll each get 3 darts. Whoever has the highest score at the end wins. It's simple."
"Sounds... yeah, I can do that." And I think Taylor, like, he does the, like, tongue out of the corner of his mouth thing. Aims and throws a dart.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a d10. We're going a little off book for Kids on Bikes, but Kids on Bikes also doesn't have playing cards, so...
I got a 1.
Taylor, you throw this dart, and it hits the corner of the dartboard and ricochets back and stabs you in the leg. I'd like you to make me a grit roll, difficulty of 5.
Impressive that it hit the corner of a circular dartboard.
The edge of the dartboard.
No, you're fine. I'm just being an ass. I got an 8.
Okay. So, yeah, the dart sticks into your leg, and then the Game Master just kind of waves, and the dart has been removed from your leg, and he's stuck it in the 1-point section of the dartboard.
Why are they so pointy?
Impressive start. So, I'm assuming you haven't played with real darts, only the little... plastic kid darts. Yeah, they're pointy and sharp.
They're like magnets. They're not supposed to be pointy.
The Game Master steps up. also hits the edge of the dartboard and then sticks himself in the leg. Apparently I'm a little rusty.
I think, yeah, Taylor laughs at him and he's just like, you did the thing I did. And then I guess I will throw my second dart. That's a 10 this time.
Taylor finds his groove and throws the dart, and it hits the bullseye on the board. Seems you are pretty good at darts.
Told you so.
The Game Master hits the 70-point slot. For those of you keeping score at home, he rolled a 7. Looks like I have some catching up to do. Take your last shot.
That is a 6 for Taylor on round number 3.
That's a 5 for the Game Master, who has got a total of 12, or sorry, yeah, 12, 12 now. He looks over at Taylor and says, is it 13? Oh, because one, yeah, that's true. He looks over at Taylor and says, well, you beat me fair and square.
So do we get Fox's soul back?
Not quite yet, I still have to deal with the other two, but how'd you like to go double or nothing?
Fox can have 2 souls?
Oh, no. What's something that you wish to have? I can grant you wishes. I'm sort of like a genie.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Are you sure? Are you sure there's nothing that you'd like to have? It could be anything.
My mom told me I'm not supposed to take deals with strange people that offer me stuff. Like, you're not in a car, but I'm still supposed to say stranger danger?
Your friend Stevie got a lot of money.
I do like money. But I think he looks at the game master and he says, If I win the second round, I want Eddie to be happy. He's been really sad lately because his dad did a bunch of murders. And so I want him to be happy.
So you want Eddie to be happy. Very well. Three more darts. And as the darts materialize in your hands, they are in fact wasps. Please make a grit roll, difficulty of 12.
That's a 7.
Okay, so I'm going to say that for the purposes of this, Taylor's going to have a little bit of difficulty throwing these darts. So we're going to do effectively disadvantage on him throwing these darts. So roll 2d10s and we'll take the lower numbers for you.
The first one is a 4.
All right, so Taylor, seeing the wasps materialize in his hands, freaks out, and like I think the first throw is just like reactionary. You're like, oh god.
Yeah, for sure.
And you throw the wasp, and it hits the dartboard sort of off center. The game master smiles and says, "This is agreeable to you, of course. I'm sure, right? You're fine with this."
I mean, I've never played wasp darts before.
The game master throws his wasp, and it hits the near the bullseye, but not quite.
Doesn't seem really fair, because, like, you knew they were going to be wasps, and I didn't know that they'd be wasps. And his second throw is another 4.
You're going to have to do better than that. You do want Eddie to be happy, don't you?
Well, yeah, but, like, They're wasps. That's not fair.
The game master gets way over on the edge of the dartboard, but just on the edge.
And Taylor's third wasp is another 4.
3 4s. Okay, so for this final one, I'm going to give you an opportunity to mess up the game master.
Okay.
So, you get to choose how you're doing it, and I will tell you what to roll.
I think, because you said we're in, like, a back room, right? Like a children's party room?
Mm-hmm.
I think Taylor's gonna go with his tried and true method. He's gonna flip a table at him. Like, as he's throwing the dart, Taylor wants to, like, time the table flip.
Oh, so you're not actually interfering with him. You're just trying to, like, catch the dart with the table?
Well, kind of like as he's throwing it, like, hit him and or the dart to, like, knock him off balance and change the trajectory.
Okay. All right. That's going to be a fight. Difficulty of, I'm going to say, 8.
Oh, that's good, because I've got a D6. Oh boy, it's my good old friend the 4.
Wow, a lot of 4s tonight. Okay, so yeah, the game master throws his dart and a 4. Wow, is this a sign? The game master throws his dart and manages to get not quite off center, but He gets enough points with a total of 9 and 2 is 11, 15 to your 12.
Oh, what a bummer.
Well, that's not fair. I wanted to play darts, and you brought wasps to a dart fight.
I tell you what. I'll still make Eddie happy. If that's what you truly want.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Very well.
And he snaps his fingers, and Taylor materializes back in Fox's room with Stevie now.
Does Stevie have feather hair?
Stevie still has feather hair, yes.
Oh, I like what you did with your hair.
I didn't do it. The game master, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, made my hair feathers, and I don't like it. And he gave me all this useless money, and he won't tell me where Fox is. I, I hate him. I hate...
I mean, I had wasps, but Eddie's going to be happy, so it's fine,
Wait, did he tell you he was going to make Eddie happy? Because he told me he was going to give me money, and then he gave me this. And she points to, like, the treasure chest full of drachma.
Yeah, he said he was going to make Eddie happy, but then I lost at darts. But he said he'd do it anyway because the darts were wasps.
I don't even know how to begin. I'm really worried for Vox. And also now for Eddie, actually. JTT is a douchebag.
I'd like the two of you to make a brains roll. Difficulty of 8.
Yeah, that's not going to be a good chance here.
I know, that's Taylor's strong suit.
I got a 3. That's, like, almost max for him.
No, I'll take that L. Is it 8 together?
Nope. Nobody wants to spend an adversity token?
Oh, yeah, I'll take an adversity token because then we'll have it. Yeah, I'll spend one.
Which is my segue into thank you to our lovely patrons for providing us the adversity tokens that allow us to see through the Game Master's roofs.
As you all are talking, you see resting next to where Fox was sitting, a book that looks really, really old.
I'm gonna go check it out.
As you open it up, you see that it's written in mostly written in a really old language that you have never seen before. But there are, like, notes in the margins and stuff about certain pages. And you find the words that Fox spoke. You find like a folded over page in the book, and you find the words that Fox spoke at the end of the last session, which summoned the Game Master.
Okay.
And that's where we're going to cut to Eddie. Eddie, you wake up in your bed, but not in the bed you've been sleeping in. You wake up in your bed in your old house.
What? What is... And Eddie gets up and immediately, like, goes to, like, check the window.
You go over to check the window, and the window is locked, and it is nighttime.
Okay. And he walks over to his door to try to get out of his room.
You walk over to the door, and... you feel heat coming from underneath the door.
No, 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 no. No, no, no. He's gonna, like, try to, like, grab his blanket and try to, like, open the door to twist the knob.
Okay, so, yeah, you're basically trying to protect your hands and...
Yeah, he remembers last time.
So as you do this, the door swings open, and you see Corbin Breyer standing there. And he is standing in the flames, and his eyes are bright yellow, and he says, "Come on, son. Join me. Join me in the family business."
Eddie slams the door shut and locks it, and immediately runs to the other side of the room and is trying to break open that window.
As you run across to the other side of the room, Jonathan Taylor Thomas appears in your bedroom.
You think this is funny? What?
Are you ready? Are you ready to play the game now?
Fuck it. Fine. Let's play your game. What are we doing?
You choose the game. It's more fun that way.
I can choose any game, right?
Mm-hmm. Any game. As long as two people can play it, and there's a clear winner.
Air hockey.
Very well. JTT snaps his fingers, and you find yourselves in... Where's the last place that Eddie played air hockey?
I imagine there has to be at least one arcade somewhere in Poplar. If anyone has a name for it, feel free to throw it out.
Alright, so you find yourself in that arcade. It's completely empty except for the two of you, and you are on opposite ends of an air hockey table.
How many points are we playing for?
First to three.
All right. Never gonna watch Home Improvement again after this, but all right, let's fucking get this over with. And if I win, I get to leave, right? And we say Fox or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, I'll give you your friend back.
Fine, start the game.
We hear the whir of the fans and the air hockey table start up as JTT drops the puck on the table and slides it your direction. You start.
All right, well, Eddie's going to make the first move and try to make a direct shot.
Oh, so the way we're going to do this is I'm going to have you roll, I forget what the sixth stat is. It's, we have fight, flight, brains, brawn, grit, and charm. Okay. So you tell me what your tactic is, and I will tell you what to roll.
He's basically like, as it's supposed to be his first serve, he wants to basically do like a, you ever play arcade, we do like the direct shot in when the person's not, you know, paying attention as the game starts. That's what he's going to do for his first serve.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that's a brawn roll. That's gonna be difficulty of, I was gonna say five. So yeah, Eddie makes his first shot and it goes directly into the goal. Bing! And there's a little light up scoreboard in this on the center of it that reads 1 point for Eddie's side. Very good. Good job. I
guess you're not.
Must say, this is the first time I've ever played this one.
Hope you play air hockey better than you act on your stupid show.
You know I'm not actually Jonathan Taylor Thomas, don't you?
I'm trying to hype myself up. Just serve already.
Okay. So the game master serves. Make me a fight check. Difficulty of six.
Ooh, that explodes, thank God.
Well, that's a five, that explodes, so yeah. You manage to defend against the Game Master's serve. It seems the fates aren't on my side today. Your serve.
Let's see, what's Eddie gonna do here? I think Eddie's gonna pretend to like he's about to hit the puck from the left to kind of bounce it off the edge of the table, and then instead he's just gonna go for another direct shot and just mess with him.
Okay, so let's call that a brains roll. That's gonna be difficulty of eight.
I will take my adversity.
All right. So you attempt to fake out the Game Master, and he expertly blocks against this serve. He says, seems I'm learning how this game is played. And he attempts to do a trick shot of his own. I'd like you to make a fight check, difficulty of 10.
That's a 2.
The Game Master scores a point. Bing! There's 1-1 on the scoreboard. Your turn.
Fuck demons, stupid fucking town. And Eddie's just gonna play the game as normal and just do a normal serve.
Okay. So that's gonna be. Let's do grit this time, because you're gonna kind of play the long game. So you guys are going back and forth now instead of just trying to take quick shots on each other. Difficulty of 5.
I got a 5. Oh yeah.
All right, so after a bit of back and forth, you manage to score against the Game Master, and he says,
2-1. Would you care to make a wager?
I wager you can shove your deal up your ass. Let's keep playing the game.
Are you sure about that? Your friends, they made wagers of their own. Stevie, she has quite a bit of money now. And, oh, Taylor, he was so sweet. He wished for your happiness. He wished for your happiness.
Well, you're doing a really shitty job right now.
Are you sure there's nothing you'd like to have?
I'm not my dad. I don't make deals with demons. Are we gonna play the game or what? Oh.
He drops the puck and takes a quick shot. I need you to make a fight check, difficulty of 12.
Oh no. That's a 3.
Tied it up. Last shot, better make it count.
I should probably describe it. So Eddie looks like he's about to, like, serve again, and then he stops and looks up, like, looking through the Game Master and says, did you hear that?
The Game Master looks around. I assume you're trying to trick him into looking away.
Yes.
Go ahead and roll Charm, difficulty of 10.
That's a 16.
The Game Master turns around as if forgetting for a moment that the two of you are completely alone in a room of his own making.
And then Eddie serves.
And you score, a point.
Yeah, that was the sound of you fucking losing. Can I go now?
Well played, Eddie Breyer. Well played. I hope you're happy.
And as the room begins to dissipate around you, you find yourself rematerializing in Fox's room and uncontrollably smiling, like creepy Joker smile.
God damn it, Taylor.
Was it wasps?
Oh, no.
Thanks for the wish.
So the three of you are now at the table, and Stevie and Taylor have found this book.
It's a monkey's paw. Except not, I guess not really, because, I mean, it's not like it's the worst thing that could happen, it just goes slightly wrong. So it's like a...
shittiest win ever. How are we gonna get out of here?
This book has the thing that Fox said that got us all here in the first place. So maybe it has a thing to un-get us here.
Eddie's just gonna take the nearest seat and, like, just angrily point at the book and just, like, turn away from Taylor because he's fucking pissed right now.
Stevie, never missing an opportunity, turns to Taylor and goes, well, he seems pleased with you.
I don't think he is.
Anyway. I guess I'll keep looking through the book if you want to cut away.
Yeah, so that's when we cut to Pat. Pat, you wake up in your bed.
Pat just lies there. Pulls out a cigarette.
As you place your hand in front of your face to light the cigarette, you see that your hand is cracked and burnt and covered in dark red skin.
All right. You're really gonna drag this one out?
JTT materializes in your room. Clearly you're too smart for this. So...
I mean, you did kind of threaten me immediately before this happened.
Very well. Are you prepared to play the game?
I got 3 questions first. 1. What the fuck actually are you? And don't give me no shit about how you're the fucking game master. Or whatever. Alright? What are you? Are you another fucking extra dimensional...
I am...
fucking Miss Cloud or some nonsense?
A being that has gone by many names. There was one who wrote of us. He called us the Old Ones. I believe you're familiar with Cthulhu?
No. I'm not. Well, it's a lot like that. Alright, so you're some... oh, fucking Christ. I don't know why I expected a straight answer from you. Alright. Question 2. Fucking game nonsense, right? You want to play a game. You feel pain?
Do I feel pain?
Do you feel pain?
In a sense, I've felt pain.
All right. Question three. And Pat pulls out, like pulls the end table from next to her bed, and places her hand flat down on it, and then pulls out her knife. Ready to fucking lose?
What's your game?
And then, with the practiced hands of a violinist and also a goddamn burnout, Pat starts doing Mumbly Peg.
Okay, so you've, so, for those unfamiliar with the game, would you care to describe it?
So, Mumbly Peg is a very, very simple game, in that it's not really a game, it's more of a, like, weird dexterity challenge, where you take a knife, and then you go back and forth stabbing it between each of your fingers, and just go faster and faster and faster. Big sci-fi fans might remember this from Alien, where the robot does...
I fail to see how this is a challenge where there can be a winner and a loser.
Well, yeah. So whoever, to, you know, if who's gonna tap out first? Who's gonna stab themselves?
Very well. The game master, in the form of Jonathan Taylor Thomas, sits down next to you or across from you and places his hand on the table and materializes a knife very similar to yours in his hand and starts going. We'll start out small with a.
Pat is just, is not looking at her hand as she's doing this. She is staring dead ass at the game master.
He is returning your glare, as the two of you start. So we'll start small. We'll start real easy. Make me a, grit. Yeah, grit, I think. Make me a grit check, difficulty of 3.
16.
Okay, the two of you start out relatively slow, just staring each other down, and then the speed increases. Make me a grit check, difficulty of 6.
17.
Okay, the speed increases, the two of you are going, and neither of you seem to be backing down. Make me a grit roll, difficulty of 9.
Oh, shit. That's one.
Pat stumbles and stabs herself directly in the center of her hand. Ooh, looks like you won't be playing the violin very well after this. What do you say, best 2 out of 3?
Oh, asshole, you don't know what you just got into. And Pat just... pulls that out and just goes right back to it. I'm also just going to, yeah, I've made a roll. I think 15 grit roll is enough to stand through that pain.
to pull the knife out without passing out. Yeah, that seems fair.
Listen, Pat's been dealing with a lot of actual physical, like, you know, Pat had her insides basically burnt out by holy water. Like,
is that a drug thing? Holy water?
This ain't shit.
So you go again. We'll start this time with a difficulty of 4.
13.
Okay. This time we start again with the rhythm. Difficulty of 8.
11.
Okay, getting faster now, staring each other down. Difficulty of 12.
I'm going to spend my 5 adversity to push that from a 7 to a 12.
Okay. This time Game Master stabs, like, cuts off one of his fingers because the knife is so big it just bisects the finger. Invigorating. I haven't felt something like that in some time.
Yeah, we're all really impressed. You're gonna have to switch the other hand. Can't have you working with a handicap here.
Very well. He switches to the other hand. Struggling to hold on to the knife because he cut off his index finger, so it's a little awkward. He says, all right, third time's a charm. We'll start out with difficulty of 5.
That's 5.
Okay.
I want to note something that's happening now, in this last round. Because, I think we're seeing, that, so, you know, Pat's hand before was sort of cracked and scaled, and we see for a moment, like, that blood that's bleeding out of her other hand, like, is steaming a bit, and Pat is just stabbing into the table harder and harder, and it's like, it's starting to shake the table, because I think this is the sort of thing where the fact that Pat is still kind of possessed would come out.
Okay, so I'm gonna give that a mechanical effect, because you're basically, like, letting out the demon inside. So, I'm gonna say, go ahead and roll me a fight check. Or actually, you know, your choice, fight or brawn. Difficulty is going to be 8.
I guess I'll roll fight again. Like, I mean, I already rolled the fight, and it was a 5, and I don't have adversity, so...
Okay. Yes.
I just spent them all.
So, alright, go ahead and roll your next grit, difficulty of 10.
16.
Alright. And the final grit, difficulty of 15.
5.
This time you slip and you cut, like, 3 of your fingers off.
Ooh. Fuck.
Ooh. Really not going to be playing violin now. But don't worry, I can fix that. If you like.
Yeah, asshole. That's how this is gonna work.
Well, I'm afraid you lost.
Great. Played your fucking game now.
He snaps his fingers, and the two of you return to Fox's room. You all see Pat materialize in her seat, and she is missing 3 fingers.
Holy shit.
Was it wasps?
What? What well, game it's... could you possibly have chosen that you lost fingers, Pat?
Pat just holds up the knife in the other hand and just kind of grits her teeth.
Why?
Didn't think the asshole would cheat.
Excuse me, sir, you cheated at Mumbly Peg? But then you got mad at me for trying to cheat at blackjack and did this to my hair? Hypocrite.
I did no such thing. I played the game fair and square. I even stabbed myself. And you
no,
see, and he holds up his hand and shows that he's missing a finger. Very well. Suppose I'll return your friend now.
Thank you.
I hope Fuck you all you. Have fun.
Not really.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
Called bullshit, by the way. Just statistically.
You watch as Fox materializes in the room. He looks around. What the fuck is going on?
You summoned that guy? Is Jonathan Taylor Thomas still in the room?
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor Thomas is still there.
I point at Jonathan Taylor Thomas and I'm like, you summoned him and then we all had to play games against him.
Oh, fuck. I didn't think that shit was real or going to work. Hang on one second. And he runs over to the table and flips a couple of pages and you see JTT narrow his eyes and he says... You can read the book? Well, of course I can read the book.
Fuck this chosen one bullshit.
I read the words, didn't I? And he says, I can't allow you to fix this. And you all see a giant parakeet, a giant wasp, and Corbin Breyer materialize into the room, and the room is on fire. I would like all of you to make grit rolls, difficulty of 8.
Thomas, you do know what a typical dice pool in this is, right? Like, I'm ridiculously good at grit, I say, having just rolled a natural 20. And then a 19. But, like, you realize what your average fucking dice distribution is.
Hey, two of you succeeded, two of you failed. Eddie and Stevie just kind of crumple in fear. But Pat and Taylor manage to maintain their composure. And, what would you like to do as
I'm stepping up and stabbing this asshole in the back.
Okay, go ahead and make me a brawn. Would it be brawn or fight? I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Fight would make the most sense.
Yeah, you stab him in the back, and he loses concentration, and you see that one of the constructs, the one of Corbin, disappears, and Eddie is able to regain his composure. Taylor, what are you doing?
Okay, can I get just like a recap of what's going on in the room?
The room is on fire. There is a giant wasp and a giant parakeet in the room, and Pat has just gone up and stabbed the game master in the form of Jonathan Taylor Thomas in the back.
Well, I'm not gonna fight the wasp. Have you ever tried to punch a bird? Because that's what Taylor's gonna do.
All right, yeah, that's gonna be a fight check, difficulty of 4.
I got a 3.
Can I use one of my adversity to help Taylor punch this bird? I assume Eddie helps by literally, like, as Taylor swinging, he just, like, runs in and, I guess, charges at the bird.
Okay, so the two of you tackle the bird, and Stevie, the cause of your fear is gone. So Stevie regains her composure. What would you like to do, Stevie?
I want to go up and try to break Jonathan Taylor Thomas's nose.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a fight, difficulty of 6.
I'm going to use 4 adversity to punch Jonathan Taylor Thomas right in his fucking nose.
Okay, you punch Jonathan Taylor Thomas directly in the nose, and he watches his gorgeous teen face is busted, and Fox looks up from the book and says, "Oh, you're gonna regret fucking with my friends," and looks back down and begins to chant some words that I did not have prepared because I wasn't sure how I was going to end this, but he speaks some words that sound ancient and spooky, and the game master cries out, "No!" as he turns to dust. And we see shots of everyone as Stevie's hair turns back to normal, no feathers. Also, Stevie's coins have disappeared. And Eddie's face relaxes from that terrible Joker-like grimace. And Pat's fingers have regrown, reattached, however you want to imagine it. And she is whole once again.
D&D is really weird.
Fuck.
Yeah, that was not supposed to happen. That's the last time I get ideas for spells out of old books that I find in the library. I'm sorry, guys. That's on me.
I hate this fucking town. Pat just walks out.
I punched Jonathan Taylor Thomas in the face.
Does anybody want to go to Waffle House? I think I want to cry into a cup of coffee.
So bad.
Eddie, I don't think we should play D&D anymore. There's probably better games out there.
Yeah, maybe not ask for my happiness from a demon, by the way, Taylor. Really, don't get me wrong, appreciated the thought, but just not that again, please.
Oh, I mean, like...
Yeah, you know what? I should probably stop playing D&D, too. It can be pretty problematic. And did you realize that, like, there's a lot of racist overtones in this shit, man? Like, fuck.
I don't know. I think you're probably just looking too much into it.
Well, Taylor, we all know you're not very bright, so...
Like, if you're saying racist stuff in D&D, maybe you're the racist, Fox.
No, I mean like the lore. There's like there's some pretty fucked up things.
Pat comes back in. Hey assholes. Fox's mom made nachos.
Oh my god,
fuck
yes.
Fuck yeah.
Aunt Claire.
Fuck Waffle House.
Stevie runs out of the room while yelling for her aunt.
And that's where we're going. And that's where we're going to end tonight's session.
That'd be a quote too.
Well, I can't quote the whole episode.
Just the nachos.
Someone needs to give you guys a fucking out.
I was just gonna have straight up leave.
I figured we'd all just drop like 15 different end taglines and then fade.
Poplar Kids uses the Kids on Bikes role-playing game system by Renegade Game Studios and is GM'd and edited by Andy Stade. You can find him on Twitter at AndyLion92. Stevie is played by Casey. You can find them on Twitter at Child of Ginevra. Fox is played by Thomas. You can find him on Twitter at DorksideVO. Eddie is played by Nick. You can find him on Twitter at ChainsawWombat. Pat is played by Evan. You can find them on Twitter at NamesEquipped. We can be found on Twitter at PoplarKidsPod, or you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/poplarkids. Be sure to tell your friends to come and visit us, and we'll see y'all next time in Poplar, Kentucky.